In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We are blessed in believing in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, even though our eyes have not yet seen him, though we will. We are blessed because we believe the apostles and their eyewitness testimony that Christ was risen from the dead, and he ate with them, and he drank with them. And as we are in the 40 days of Easter, because most of you know, Easter is not really a day. Easter is the whole season from the resurrection of Christ to his ascension was 40 days. As Paul says, as Luke writes in Acts chapter 1, that during the entire 40 days, he gave many convincing proofs that he was risen from the dead. As we are in those joyous 40 days of Easter, we see that the whole book of Acts is giving testimony to this. Believe with one heart and soul as the Christians shared everything and distributed to the needy. Great power was upon them because the apostles gave testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. If you look in the New Testament, you see that till their dying day, for the apostles were martyred for their faith. They went everywhere throughout the Roman Empire proclaiming, "Jesus Christ was crucified under Pontius Pilate, but he was risen from the dead on the third day. Of this we are eyewitnesses. And you do well to believe in him as the only hope of salvation." So during the 40 days of Easter, we are joining today with Thomas, who proclaims to the risen Lord and to the world today, and we join him by saying, "My Lord and my God, I am blessed in believing, though I cannot see him yet, but I will on that last glorious day when he returns." So for a moment, let's first of all consider believing and seeing Thomas and the apostles. It's evening of Easter Sunday. The doors are locked because the apostles are afraid of the Jews. Easter Sunday, Jesus comes and suddenly stands among them, passing through the walls, and said, "Peace be with you." And he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The peace they could have in their hearts was because of the marks. Because of the marks on hands and side and feet, the price he paid for our salvation, being crucified in our place, we can have peace in our hearts because we are at peace with God through the blood of Christ. Therefore, the first thing he said was, "Peace be with you." Then he says it again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I send you." And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness, it is withheld." Jesus is about to ascend to heaven. And now the church is going to carry on his work under the power of the Holy Spirit of bringing his peace to a world that needs his peace. And they will come as the Father came, as the Father sent Jesus in his name, and now Jesus sends us in his name. We go into all the world and bring the same peace to a hurting world today. But then it was a week later, which we celebrate today, when Thomas, the first Easter Sunday evening, had not been there. Thomas was absent that first night and did not see Jesus when he appeared. And so when they tell Thomas, "We've seen the Lord," he would not believe it, he said, unless he saw the marks in his hands and his side and touched them himself. he would not believe. But then a week later, Thomas is back with them. For the disciples had told Thomas that he is risen. So Thomas was now with them a week later. And again, a third time, Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you." He shows them his hands and side, and he tells Thomas, "Place your hands there, my hands and side. Stop doubting, stop disbelieving, but believe." Then Thomas says, "For us and all believers through all time, my Lord and my God." Meaning, this man in human flesh, in his glorified body, who still have the scars and hands and side to show the price he paid for our salvation, is also the Lord and our God in human flesh. Thus, week after week, we confess the Apostles' Nicene and Athanasian creeds, and we say, we believe, I believe, that Jesus is very God of very God, begotten of his Father, true God in human flesh. The church every Sunday proclaims the same faith as Thomas, saying of Jesus, my Lord and my God. Now Thomas and the apostles believed and saw the evidence of Christ's resurrection. They had been trained by Jesus for 3 years, and they were given the evidence. They ate with him, they drank with him, they spoke with him. Now, the apostles, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who wrote the New Testament, calls us to believe their eyewitness testimony. We are those who believe and do not see, we Christians today, because we haven't seen Jesus with our eyes yet, but we believe the promise that he's coming again in glory, and we too will be raised. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's you and me. We Christians today read these words about Thomas and the apostles who believed when they saw the eyewitness proof and testimony, and know that John said Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples not written in this book, meaning Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do not record all the miracles of Jesus, nor all of his words. But these that are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in his name. Thank the Lord, they were written down so that you can read these Gospels yourself and hear them preached. Jesus is the Christ, the promised Messiah, fulfilling the prophecy in Genesis that the seed of the woman would come to crush the head of the serpent, but in so doing, he would be bruised. And fulfilling Isaiah 53, that he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was risen from the dead as surely as Jonah came out of the great fish. Jesus came out of the tomb alive and risen from the dead, begotten of the Father from eternity. Believing in his name, you and I have life. And every Christian who is baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit has God's name placed on you in your baptism. You are marked in him. You belong to him. Therefore, it can be said of us, blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. Because we accept the eyewitness testimony in the Holy Scriptures, and we know he is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Now, you personally encounter this word and Christ, the resurrected Lord, in the water and the word that touched you in your baptism, in the bread and wine, Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper. And through preaching and teaching, you personally encounter the word of Jesus Christ. And so we do see with the eyes of faith in his holy word. But we will see Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, risen from the dead when he returns in glory on that last day. And so St. John in the epistle lesson today talks about who Jesus is, the one in whom we have our faith. Jesus, who is returning, is the one who is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one that was seen, looked upon, touched, and heard. He is the Word of life. Jesus is manifested from the Heavenly Father. Jesus, the Son of God is our joy, our light, the righteous one, and he says, our advocate and our propitiation for our sins. What does that mean? Jesus is our advocate before God the Father. He is our advocate. He died in our place as our substitute, and he offers his sacrifice for us on behalf of the sins of the whole world. He's the propitiation for our sins, which is the symbol of the sprinkled blood of Christ upon the cross, is the basis of our salvation. For Jesus died the death we deserved as our substitute in our place, and he's your advocate. He says, these are my children. They are clothed in my righteousness. His blood is the propitiation and the washing away of our sins. That is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming again in glory. Now, a word about the office of the keys. When Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus is given what's sometimes called the office of the keys to the church. Here in this lesson and then in Matthew when he says, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind in heaven will be bound on earth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The office of the keys are given to the whole church. The office of the keys, bringing God's forgiveness into the world through preaching, through teaching, through baptizing, through absolution, through Holy Communion. He gives us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We are to call people to repentance first. People must come to the knowledge of their sins, of thought, word, and deed, before they're ready for forgiveness. You must, as we do at the beginning of the service, confess your sins first, each and every day. Repent. And then Jesus says, as we heard at the beginning of the service, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then in the office of the ministry, called pastors then publicly administer these keys in the Christian congregation. So then the pastor is preaching and teaching and baptizing, absolving and administering Holy Communion on behalf of the church, the office of the keys in the midst of the congregation as faithful shepherds shepherd the flock that belongs to Christ, whom he redeemed with his own blood. Do you notice how three times Jesus says, peace be with you? Do you think Jesus knows how much we need peace? I think so. Three times, peace be with you. All through the service, you're hearing the peace of the Lord be with you. And in fact, the last word you're going to hear today in the benediction, as I shared with the children this morning, the very last thing you're going to hear is the Lord's peace placed upon you. You can have peace in your heart because you are at peace with God the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the Christian proclamation of the gospel. In conclusion, I know it's frustrating that you can't see Jesus with your eyes yet. We would all love to see him with our eyes right now. But we see him with the eyes of faith through word and sacrament. And we will see him with our eyes on the last day when he comes in glory. And we too will be raised incorruptible and glorified. And when he comes again in glory, the deaf will hear, the blind will see, the lame will walk. The old things have passed away and the new have come. We joy in the proclamation of Thomas today and say about our Lord Jesus, my Lord and my God. And are comforted in the words of Jesus spoken directly to you and me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. May that blessing be upon us in Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.